a wells without water.
God says the solitary in families, he bring out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Understand? God said the solitary in his household. Paul explains the household of the Lord as the church of the living God. Remember? Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. If I tarry, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the household of the Lord, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Of the truth. And we said the truth. Paul's truth to Timothy is the gospel. Right? We looked at that last night. Remember? So we said, the church ought to serve as a place where the truth is heard. Where the truth is said and where the truth is heard. That means if there's no other place in the world where the gospel is taught, where the will and the plan of God is given to all to be healed, then the church of God ought to serve as that place. Paul says it is the ground and the pillar of the truth. So we got to look at, if the church is where we hear the truth, what is the devil doing about that? And we began to look at the fact that everywhere you see the Son of God, you're going to see the serpent, right? Everywhere you see the building of the church of God, you're going to see what? The gates of hell. We have taught all of that. He said the gates of hell would always try to stop the building of the church. Of course, the church has been built in the resurrection, and the church is in building. Every day as we preach and teach, as more men are saved, the church is being built. Amen. And we build more. Oh, we build more. Amen. Both Christians in the city and the ones in the village and the ones in the metropolis. The gospel is working effectively through us all. Amen. And more lives are being changed and more men are coming to the knowledge of the truth of God's word. Can I have a big amen?
Amen.
Yep. So we said the devil tries to corrupt the truth. So one of the ways to do that is he creates counterfeit. So we're looking at what we call false teachers. So someone said, why are we teaching about false teachers? Because discernment is part of spiritual growth. In fact, part of physical growth is also discernment. It might not be Mr. Niger D, but it's one of the things you see. As one grows physically, you begin to notice that you begin to recognize food. You also begin to recognize harmful things. You know, I remember we used to say, Jojo, where's Bolu? Okay. You know, when she was younger, that's my younger sister. When she was younger, she was scared with the dark corners of the house. Dark corners of the house. So now when I see her, and she feared that for long. I said, yes, that was, yeah. You know, see, Ujuju. You know, and some of you too, they did it for you. Aha, good. We that were firstborn. Nobody. You know, and you tell children, Jojo, that is, this thing can burn, no? It's Jojo. Aha. But some children, they'll find out Jojo themselves. And by finding out that this is hot, and this can hot, they begin to discern. So the next time he sees it, you see the child intentionally veering away from fire. Because discernment shows you growing. Only a baby puts everything in his mouth. As you grow older, you begin to recognize syringe. Amen? Nah. You know those nurses. You know? I don't know why you have to do like this. The nurses in the house, I know you guys are plenty. You have drawn the thing. Come and give me. You're not like this. Why? So that it can flow. Liars. It's so that you can scare the person. Like you're showing me this is what's about to enter your body. That's a tunnel, tunnel. You know, so discernment is when the baby is, you know, 3 months, you go for vaccination. Or 6 weeks. 6 weeks, yeah. 6 weeks, you go for vaccination. The baby doesn't recognize. You just watch the 1 year vaccination. Watch. That's when you know that growth has happened. Baby now knows that, ooh, when I see white coat, I'm not in a good place. When I just see white coat, I know that I need to be alert, yeah. I need to cry. I need to throw tantrums. Discernment shows growth. And so part of our spiritual growth is that the church must learn to teach. To teach right from almost right. Ephesians 4, you know, in verse 12, he said he gave unto some. In verse 11, he says he gave unto some apostles and prophets and teachers, and apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That is, Jesus gave you these people. Or these gifts. Ministry gifts. They are people who function in offices. And he gave them for the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can we verse 13 together? Oh, you were not there. Where were you? On my face? Alright. I wait for you. Till we all come, in the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man. 14. That we are no more, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Whether it be lie, you wait to deceive. Look at that. He says, the reason why we have the local church and the gifts, the pastors in the local church, is so that we, the saints can be perfected till the saints come to the full knowledge of Jesus. So that he is no longer a child tossed to and fro. So teaching against false prophets or recognizing false prophets is part of the work of the pastor. Again, I told you before, you must be loud where the Bible is loud and be silent where it is. And one of the strong points where the epistles are loud is against false doctrine and false prophets. It is not a modern thing. It's not a 2020 thing. It's not a 2005 thing. In the times of Jesus, Jesus warned them, beware. Beware of false prophets. He says they'll come to you in sheep clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Turn there. You know, I've gone through my notes many times, so it's easy for me to say scriptures and quote them. So don't see it like I know them. Oh, I know them so much, you know. I've just gone through the notes. Yeah. Matthew 7, 15. So it says, beware of, are you there? All right. We'll read 15 to 18. Oh yeah. They are false prophets. But in what? They are ravening wolves. Yeah. Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Look at that. So it then says, by their fruits you know them in verse 20. So again, in the times of Jesus, Jesus also warned against false prophets and false doctrine. I told you, in almost every book of the epistle, you're going to see it. In Acts 20, Paul spoke to the church, the elders of the church in Ephesus, that see, they will come among you. And they will try to lure people, disciples away after themselves. In Romans, Paul taught it. In Galatians, in fact, Galatians 1:6, he said, marvel that you are soon removed out of the gospel. You know. So again, there will always be false teachers. The job of the pastor is to teach, to recognize that. Amen. So observe, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. They will come in sheep clothing. So discernment is key. If they will come in sheep clothing, I must know that people are beyond what they say. What they say is important. Some people will give themselves away with what they say. But what they say is important. But I've told you, discernment is not just good from bad. Oh, good from bad is good. To know what is bad and what is good. But discernment, proper discernment is also to know good from seemingly good. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end is destruction. The way seems right, but you got to discern it. It's not right. It just seems right. So how do I walk in discernment? I must know to differentiate right from seemingly right. I walk in discernment. So quickly, we're going to, because of the mission talk, we have gone far in time, so we need to be faster. So we said, watch for some things for false prophets. Don't forget, Peter called them what? Wells without water. 2 Peter 2. We'll read that very well. Jude also calls them clouds that hold no water. And we said, they must have taken the teaching from the teaching of Jesus, where Jesus oftentimes referred to water as the work of the Spirit. Don't forget, John 7:39, John 4:14, even Isaiah also referred to water as the work of the Spirit. He calls himself with joy, he will draw from the wells of salvation. The work of the Spirit oftentimes is typified in the scriptures as water. Ezekiel did that in Ezekiel 36 and verse 25 to 27. Let me come back. Am I very fast? I think I'm summarizing everything we have said. That's why I'm just glossing through. Alright, so we said, if what I therefore refers to the work of the Holy Ghost in his church or in his people today, wells without water would be, passive places where you thought you should get the work of the Spirit and then they owe nothing. So Peter would liken false teachers and false prophets to wells. Because they also hold microphone like I'm doing. And they also open the Bible. When people preach to people and they say, go and look for a Bible-believing church, I laugh. Because you're not going to see a Quran-believing church. Amen. Every church is a Bible-believing church. It's what you now say from the Bible. So you need to watch. Watch. Why do we teach? Why do we teach so intensely? Why do we go through all the Greek words and all of that? It's so that you can know the Bible so well that when you hear a false teaching, you know it's false. I believe if you are a member of the Glorious House Church, no one should be able to gaslight. Is that gaslighting? That's the word. No one should be able to deceive you concerning the things of the Spirit, for example. Imagine a member of the Glorious House Church and someone is still looking at you, still trying to confuse you on tongues. I believe you have to pay someone to intentionally tell you that you are speaking Chinese. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you must teach it so well, or prayer, for example. Let's not like prayer. We just think. We just, you know, we just leave it. We just leave it. You know, you guys are lucky. Sometimes you have to hear some stuff and you say, ooh, the church has a name. And there'll be people jotting down. Say, there's not like prayer. There's not like prayer. That God will do what he will do. No. No. You ask, and you receive. That's what Jesus said. God's will was to heal blind Bartimaeus, but Jesus passed. Not because he would not heal him, but because he probably didn't even see him. The woman who had the issue of blood was God's will to heal. It's always God's will to heal. John 9. The will of God has come to pass upon the man who was blind from his mother's womb. It's always God's will. But until he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So you can see that something is God's will does not exempt prayer. In prayer, we communicate and our will and God's will meet in the same place. Hallelujah. So you will pray. Alright. So, how did I get to that? So, you know, you watch out for, there are some signs of false doctrines and the church ought to teach it. And we said one of that is you watch for materialism, right? Come on. I think that's an obvious one. But as obvious as it is to you, you know, there's a particular pastor that went to one African country to preach. I was hearing it from a more senior pastor. What's Yaba? 2016? So he was gisting us out that a particular pastor went to preach. I won't mention the country. So, yeah, I don't know where this teaching I get to. And they welcomed the pastor. The country believes that if a lady sleeps with the man of God, she's favored and she's blessed. And things will begin to work for her. And so when he went as a guest minister, people were lining up to sleep with him. Hallelujah. Imagine as a man of God, you go preach gospel. And the pastor of the place is telling you, are you ready? He said, to lay hands? No. To lay. To just lay. And that is what they have been taught. And let me tell you what they said. They said it works. When they eventually sleep with the man of God, blessings actually happen. How do you start teaching? So the pastor, please, the country, I want to be a missionary. Yeah, I'm a false teacher already. And Peter said, their hand will not be good. Peter really cursed. You can go and read it before you start the ambition. Hallelujah. So that something works does not make it true. I don't know how that sounds. Does not make it the truth. Jesus said, some will come to me. They said, we work miracles in your name. We heal the sick in your name. We raise the dead in your name. It worked. But he said, that's not the truth. You have no lot or portion with me. You are workers of iniquity. You walked it all, but you walked iniquity. Hallelujah. It works is not the litmus of sound doctrine. That's not the litmus. You can't claim that God asked you to be sleeping with other people's wives. You see, and their family gets blessed. And I say, that's how we do it. That's our own doctrine. You're a false teacher. Regardless of how you want to paint it, whether it works or it worketh not, you're a false teacher. You're rotten now. Hallelujah. And one of the signs is materialism. You see, typical materialism, where people trade the word of God for money. Watch out for a pastor. I've said it even if it's me. I've said it before. It will not happen in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because you've got to keep yourself in check too. In the few days I've been pastoring, a few days, last week I started pastoring. I've seen people who have become what they condemned. And that's why you must also keep your head and maintain a sane estimate of yourself. Don't overreach yourself. Don't overblow yourself. You must keep right and maintain a lowly heart. Alright, so again, materialism, where the word of God is traded for money. If you want me to pray for you, you bring so amount. You've heard that before. People pray for the laying of hands. Hallelujah. Maybe brochures. How far? What do you think? Maybe I'll be driving a Bentley by now, you know? Bentley 2025, just, we pray for prayer focus. And if you tell your neighbor the prayer focus that you prayed for, chinekina. prayer focus. 15K. You just say, you don't even need to pray. 15K this week, 15K that's in the month, 60K per head. Take that from 100 people. 60K that's 100. Any mathematician in the house? Just have to blow, bow. Hallelujah. That's prayer chain department. Laying of hands department. You want to see Papa? And Papa is a 20-year-old. 25, 30, 40 years old. Papa. Why do you want the title so bad? Why do you want to be a Papa? I mean, when you're a Papa, everybody will know you're a Papa, including you. You get, so calm down. When a generation wish should touch you hungry. As a young minister, I'm talking to myself too. Why touch you hungry? He had Bro Hagen. You see, I just called him Bro Hagen. This is someone who has pastored and raised thousands of ministers. Thousands. Who are still raising others. And they call him Bro Hagen. They call Reverend Copeland. Bro Copeland. You think I want to have in Nigeria? Bro Billy Akoni. You see, Pastor Deboye is pastoring thousands. Church in over 150 countries. You don't hear senior angelic cardinal popilic pastoral reverendic apostolic E.E. Adeboye. Just Pastor Adeboye. Pastor E.E. Adeboye. If you're not comfortable with pastor, some people say, you remove the pastor from their name and they just say, bro, you know, you know, myself and my friends who pastor, we started to say, you know, I'm not going to refer to you as pastor. Don't refer to me as pastor. Say bro. You know, some people you just learn to let me know that I'm still there. Hey, amen. Bro. Our friends have warned them particularly not to call me pastor. Sometimes they listen. Sometimes they don't. One of my closest friends, I literally told him, if you keep calling me pastor, I will not pick your calls and I will not see you again. Call me by my name. It's heavy for him sometimes, but call me. So he mask it as and all of those. But sometimes you need that. Watch for your heart. You know? So watch materialism. Also watch for the way the word of God is being used. One of the signs of a false prophet is that is clear in the scriptures is blasphemy. Paul says in Galatians 1:6-8, even though we are an angel of from heaven, bring to you another gospel. Galatians 1:6-8. Even though we are an angel from heaven, bring another gospel. That is not the gospel we are preached to you. Say, let him be accursed. So you watch for another gospel. People who outrightly discredit the Bible. I'm careful of someone who says, let's put the Bible aside. I'm careful for them. I know in some situations, you yourself have said it. And that. But I'm saying consistently, it's almost a culture. You know, Bible aside, let's even leave Bible aside. What's your job as a pastor if you leave the Bible aside every service? Remove church from the back. Put organization who understand. Hallelujah. Bible aside, so you say, you're not going to preach the word of God because there's poverty in the land. So what you just want to do is poverty alleviation. We're going to teach people. We're going to skill them up. Then you're not a church. Don't worry. It's not a sin not to be a pastor. start chess in slums, start an NGO and all of that. You'll be celebrated in the world. Amen. Just don't say you are a church. Remove the church. Just a glorious house, whatever. But in the church of God, Jesus says, the poor you always among you. Whether you like it or not, Jesus is saying, the focus must be on the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not even gold. Every other thing will be added. Every other, that thing that is added is worry you. Have you heard it before? He says, don't worry for tomorrow. Don't worry about what you eat or what you drink. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see all the other worry. They will always be there. They will be added to you. But worry about the kingdom of God first. Okay. I've taught it before now. If you think it's a car, he's saying, just say, whether you worry about food for tomorrow or not, you will still have to worry about it. Why not worry about the kingdom of God first? Because that worry is constant. That worry. Amen. So, watch for those who also selectively teach. You teach everything but righteousness by faith. You teach everything but godly conduct. Why would you not teach godly conduct? Because Acts 20:27. Paul enjoins the elders in Ephesus to teach the whole counsel of God. Acts 20. You learn something? For I have shunned not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, or all the counsel of God. Therefore, take it therefore to yourself and to the flock. That is, beware, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God with the whole counsel of God, right? Which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So again, there will always be false teachers. It's always funny when a Christian thinks everybody in the body of Christ, I remember this particular pastor, we don't really agree on a lot of things, but he said something, I don't use some words. I'm careful using words like dimensions and portals, and you know, if you hear me teach, you know, altars. You don't hear all of that. So are there altars? Yeah. Yeah. But not in the way it is being used. Sometimes it's just being used itchily. People just want to hear things that sound so spooky, sound so, you know what I mean? So when you say altars and then string is playing at the back, everybody feels J Calabas, so Calabas. If you need to hear altars and strings before you pray, you're not praying. What I was talking about. So, and he mentioned all of that. And I said, that's true. That someone is holding the microphone and then just speaking. So, some churches are backed. They are not churches, really. They are backed from very, very strange altars. Those are the instances where you can use altars. Because things were sacrificed. Amen. And then you just go to YouTube. I like this pastor. I just like the way he lies. My pastor needs to learn. It's good. We are all learning. Amen. Amen. I will learn. Share me the video so I can learn. Hallelujah. The pastor just needs to learn how to not use too much of Bible. I like the way this pastor did it. He just said in 1968. Sorry, I was not born in 1968. What do you want me to say? Why are you born? Some of your parents are never born. Pastor doesn't really give story. That's why I like healing school. So story is plenty. You know. Calm down. Seeming right. The spirit behind, look at what John said in 1 John 1:4. 1 John 4. I'll show you something. Where else without water? Are you there? 1 John 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Look at that. He's talking about false prophet and he says, believe not all spirits. You think you're just hearing words. I'm just learning now. I'm just jotting things down. But he says, what you're receiving is a spirit. You go listen to that teaching, catching the spirit. Remember, last year, workers meeting. When you sit down under someone, whether offline, online, in line, underline, when you sit down learning under someone, you catch the spirit. And why? You have a lot of believers who are going through different kinds of things because they've got different kinds of spirits. They've been under different kinds of spirits. Even their inside, there's war, there's chaos. Because spirits are just fighting. Yeah, a big chaos are just spirits. We'll win. Then another spirit just, we the, Sorry, I don't want to mention the interest. Doesn't look. We of Christ International Limited. The other one said, yeah. Imi ekanka. You know, and then they say, I'm having dreams. I'm having things. These are chasing me. And sometimes, it can't be. It's not our teaching purely. If you listen to all our teaching, why are things chasing you? I have nothing chasing me. Amen. You must have gotten this from somewhere. Test all spirits. Believe not all spirits. It looks like I'm just listening to a podcast. It says, believe not all spirits. Amen. So while it looks like a noble thing, it's just a natural thing. I'm not really doing anything. We are just being careful. Hallelujah. Okay. So we said, you watch for those who selectively teach. Again, I'm teaching you so that you can also watch it in me. Hallelujah. So watch it in me. So, like I said, it takes a false congregation to make a false teacher. If a congregation knows how to spot a false prophet, every pastor will be on their toes. And that's why it must be taught. How to spot the same. See, you must not selectively teach. You must teach the whole counsel of God. That means you must teach healing. You must teach salvation through faith in Christ. You must teach prayer. You must teach spiritual warfare. Amen? Because there's something like that. Don't raise believers who are Gen Zs. There's no Gen Z in spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Demons don't have age. They just go. They see places and they call friends. Seven more powerful than them. Say, so clean, 6-bedroom flat. Come, let's jollify in this house. Hallelujah. So we don't say, oh, they are just Gen Zs. What we do is that we just use music. It's music that we want to be using to fight spiritual warfare. Okay. Pray. And as you are praying, you must also not take away praise. You know, look at that. As you're teaching, you are not so emphatic on spiritual warfare and warfare and warfare that you forget Thanksgiving. The Bible also teaches Thanksgiving. That also teaches the married. Jesus taught, Matthew 19 was for example. Those who were married came to ask him questions. So why did Moses say we can't put away our wives? Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 7. You saw that? You know, so the Bible teaches the married. Again, we can't negate that part of our lives. Bible teaches what people do with their money. You know, so the whole counsel of God must be taught. Watch for someone who selectively teaches. Every time you are teaching, it's always, Adam and Eve. Every time, all you're teaching is marriage. Say, I'm called to the ministry of marriage. There's nobody like that. There's nothing like that. No one is called to the ministry of billions. The church ought to be fed the whole counsel of God. There's something called balanced diet. You can't feed on protein. Protein is too good, but you can't feed on only protein. There's no food. There's no one food in the world that if you eat it all your life, you'll be fine. He says potato, sweet potato. No. You still lack in a lot of things. I don't think he has B12, for example. There's no one food. I say, if I eat it, you are a dietitian. You have forgotten, Sha. That's fine. But there's no one food in your life. I say, if I eat just this food, I have all nutrients. Of course, potato is like the best, which has a lot of classes and a lot of vitamins together. But even potato lack in basic things. And that means all the counsel of God must be taught. A pastor cannot be a specialist. It's not business. The flock of God. Paul said, I did not fail to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Sound doctrine is called sound because it's old. You learning something? Come on, you learning something? So the church must teach believers strongly to walk in discernment. So we said the signs will be clear. Materialism. Also watch for the spirit of Jezebel. If you listen to that teaching, protect the oil. Right? When we talked about the spirit of Jezebel in the church of God. How many remember? That's the minister's retreat. Oh, good. We talked about the spirit of Jezebel. And one of the primary things you see of the spirit of Jezebel is lust. Watch for a church that promotes it. Now, sometimes it's not direct because nobody will come to the pulpit and tell you, you know, go sleep around. But if it's not well taught and well marshaled and well instructed in your church doctrine and dogma that people who are not married should not be cohabiting. I mean, it should be said. Someone was telling me about a particular lady. After everything with the boyfriend, now join online prayers in the same room. How this guy? at online prayer. And the pastor knows that most of your audience, when you ask a pastor, when you see that your audience are youthful and they are young adults, you know that there is already a responsibility conferred on you to teach certain things. Amen. It's already a responsibility conferred to teach certain things. If they ask you today that as your pastor, what's my stance on certain things like fornication, you know my stance, maybe you don't. I don't worry, the stance should be clearer again. By the time I start, you know, I have a clear stance on it. On gambling, I have a stance on it. I'm not on defense. Don't play too odd. Whatever that means. Too odd means that you double the money, Abby. I want to call someone. I said, Pastor, why me? I will not call you. But my mind goes to you. Repent. I see too odd in your pocket now. No lying. All right. You want me to call you? Let me embarrass you. This sleep is a man of God. Man of God, why? And there are also ladies who also do it though. It's not sporty. Baba Jebu. Collect number. You need to answer, you are using word of wisdom. So for me, 22. Maraba son, tell about you. 84. Kaida. 12. 12 disciples. For me, 12. I'll tell you what the Bible says about gambling. It says you were in the poverty. So watch for those who clearly twist God's word too, who lie. You know, can say the Bible does not like poor people. Jesus does not like poor people. That's a lie. That's an outright lie. You are telling a lie. Don't be carried away. Don't be carried away with materialism. Don't be carried away with lust of the flesh. You know. So again, every church that indirectly endorses any teacher of God's word that indirectly endorses liberalism, as it were, you can see with my hands, inverted commas. Liberalism, that is, you are so free to do anything. No, you are not free to do anything. If you're actually free to do anything, you are bound. I told you, you must look for God's kind of freedom. Amen. God's kind of freedom has an edge of fire around it. Right? That's what you see in Job 1. It says, I know you have placed an edge of fire around him. So if you are truly free, you are out of God's bound. You have the heart of God's plan. In God's plan, he puts us in his Eden. It's not just anywhere. It's not just do anything. No, he puts us in his Eden. Hallelujah. He puts us in his own pleasure, in his delight. And that's where we'll be. Amen? So again, there's a freedom that's dangerous. That's why people build fences. That's why people build railings. You know, burglaries. Hallelujah. You know, you stay upstairs. You have kids. You've got 4 kids. And your corridor does not have, what do you call it? Railings, yeah? You know, and you say, no, I just want us to be free. You're gonna be free like a bird. Hallelujah. How does that celebrity say, you're gonna learn? You're gonna learn bad. So you're gonna learn really, amen? Hallelujah. Aha. There's a freedom that's dangerous. You put the railings, amen? Yeah. I told you, someone told me, said, no, we should be free to do anything in Christ. And he was using that to substantiate why he smokes. And why he smokes heavily. So I said, okay, if you say you're free because you smoke, I'm telling you for the next 3 weeks, do not smoke. Stop smoking. So after 3 weeks, I asked him, did you stop? He said, I couldn't. I tried to. So are you truly free? If you call that freedom, your freedom you cannot stop, then you're not free. You're not truly free. Amen. You're free in Christ. Amen. And he'll help you against every darkness, against every stronghold, against your mind. He'll help you. He will put you in the fight in the name of Jesus. All right. So again, we said, what is the water in the well? The work. All right. So we said, wells without water will be where you see the work of the Spirit lacking. That means prayer is lacking. How can the church not encourage you to pray? That means we have believers too. Even in our own local church, there are sound though. That we say sound. There are also wells without water. Because they don't like to pray. The work of the Spirit is lacking. I've told you. From next week, we will start announcing on the screen like this. People that miss their prayer group. You will see your name, your surname. In fact, if your middle name can be added. Hallelujah. That would be nice, yeah? Just your person beside you, your neighbor. Sis. Sister, this way. I said, boy, I saw you last week there too. My sister, That's why you last 3 weeks. My sister, it is well. It's not well. My sister, it's not well. Next week, you're saying, my sister, it is, And you know, my bad. Hallelujah. We must learn to tell ourselves the truth. Ah, my sister is well, Oh, bad. You still have the print now. Your name is always number one. It's like they don't even edit it. They just update the list every, week. Number one. Fayoshi. Hallelujah. Number two. That's what I said. You say pray. So we said, the water will be the work of the Spirit. That means where the work of the Spirit is lacking, that's wells without water. Hallelujah. That means where the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are lacking. That churches who don't speak in tongues, wells without water. Churches who don't believe in the healing, the divine healing, the healing gifts, is taught. I'm not saying you don't teach people to also use their common sense, because sometimes you have believers who don't use their common sense. I mean, common sense. God gave you a brain so that you can use it. You wash away your sins, not your brain. You know? So why are you not using it? Say you not get blood transfusion. Why? 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 What saved you is the blood of Jesus. You got someone's blood. Amen. Suddenly now you don't want blood. You're saved by the blood. It's in the Bible. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And what of our testimonies? That was blood. Collect this one too. Amen. I remember there's a particular woman who died because the husband said, no, they don't take blood. They don't take blood transfusion. They want something. And the pastor who was there said, what? And the family were going to sue. We're going to sue the man. The man said he's going to owe the pastor too. No. Why? I think that's common sense. You need blood. You take it. They say, don't eat so again. Some of you suya, hear me. Just don't eat suya again. Suya. When you say, I'm healed. Rakatusa. Sell that one. That liver. Give me 2,000. Pepe. That your pepper is not peppery enough. And they told you, stay away from suya. You can't say, I'm healed by the power of God. Nobody's saying you're not healed by the power of God. But be healed by the power of God away from suya. Is that hard to understand? No. If anything, it doesn't show faith. It shows lack of self-control. Hallelujah. And it shows a bit of senselessness. Not a bit, really. You're in your part here. Watch where the word of God is twisted. And like Paul would say, they talk about days and observance of the moon and all of that. And they leave the real things. You know? So watch for lies. Outright lies. Watch for things that oppose God's word. You can do anything. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can do anything. When I can do all things, you can strengthen me. It means you can be poor and be rich. That's what Paul was saying. That is when things are plenty, I can have it. When things are not plenty like that, I can survive. I can do all these things through Christ that strengthened me. He's not talking about that you can be anything in life. How can you be anything in life? If you want to be anything in life, you can be a terrorist through Christ that strengthens you. Sometimes some people talk like the IQ is freezing. No temperature, freezing temperature. So where the work of the Spirit is lacking? Wells without water. So what do I do when I see this? The question would be, where did you see it? But Paul gives us a solution. Titus 3. Or Titus. Like one of my friends would say. Titus. Titus is after Timothy. Titus. That sounds weird. Titus 3. I'll start closing now. Sorry, are you learning something? Sounds like I'm ranting with Bible verse. I just like it. So Titus, anyhow you want to call it. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Let me start from verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed God might be careful to maintain good works. So one of the signs of a false preacher too is that they don't care about works. As long as you bring something to church, as long as, you know, I've said it before, no matter what you do in the world, no matter who you are in the natural, when you come to the church of God, we are all believers. Seeing churches who, their instrumentalists don't pray, they don't do anything, they don't speak in tongues, they just play drums and the keyboard, and then after that they go outside. You go outside, gist about Chelsea, man, two losers. And then, when it's offering time, that's the next thing. And they go, gang, 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 gang,
What's that?
No. And the pastor should not be looking at you and saying, you know, as long as you're drumming. As long as you're doing something for God. No. It's not should be as long. It should be sit, listen. Hallelujah. God's plan for all creation is also including of drummers. I'll be brushing. Hallelujah. So again, it should not be liberalism. No. Watch for that. It says that you should maintain good works. Say, I maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, this is where we're going to. After the first and second admonition, rejects, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sins and being condemned of himself. He says, when you meet an heretic, after the first admonition, the second admonition, he says, leave him. That's the word. Leave him be. Let him be. I remember on campus, I met a certain lady like that. And, so the story is that some people have already gone to preach to her. And she has so much questions and so much arguments. It's not really as much questions as arguments, like serious arguments. And sometimes she's so rude. And all of that. So they said I should meet with her and all of that. I said, I'm not interested. Number one, I don't like to argue. Because when I argue, I shout. When I shout, my heart increases in beat. And I don't like it. Amen. And when it gets like that, I will need video chocolate to step it down. So, I said, I'm not interested, really. So one day I was at altar 6, I was praying. She walked up to me. I didn't even know she was the one. The one that would make us meet. She walked up and said, so I heard about you. Okay, from where? I'm just seeing you. I just walking up to me. I said, what do you mean? She said, so, I am, she mentioned her name. I said, Eruku. I said, it's you. He said, yeah. So, I wanted to actually, I put it to you. I said, don't put it to me. I will not take it. Prophet, you probably have an idea of what I'm talking about. Okay. I put it to you. I said, don't put it to me. I don't want. So I sat down and we talked. So, okay. Actually get everything you just said. Actually get it. Okay. I understand. Even though I see there are still some gray areas, but you are better than them. I said, no, they said the same thing. Just like me, I don't have energy to shout out to you. So, the next week after that, 2 weeks again, I'm very sure she was stalking me because you can't just meet me like that. You must have been following me somewhere. So as I was coming out from chapel, she said, it's you again. I said, it's not me. You are following me. So he said, concerning the last skinning, then I spent about another 3 hours, 3.5 hours, showing her. I had to even show up on the Bible on my phone because I was not with the Bible. So, whoa, clear now. So the third time, I said, whoa, heretic me, whoa. you are not ready. You just want to hear me, to counter me. And if that's fine, please just stay on your own. Paul says, an heretic, after the first admonition, an admonition is a charge, a warning, an exposition. Amen. After the first exposition, you know what it means to explain something for 4 hours and explain for 3 hours? I mean, this is not eternal salvation kind of thing. No, this is like some basic, even eternal salvation is basic to explain. You explain it in 30 minutes. It should be clear. I mean, I won't say what, but like so simple thing, I explain in 7 hours. There's nothing I want to explain to you more than in 7 hours. What's long hour teaching? Amen. You are an heretic plus, an heretic pro max. Titus, an heretic after the first admonition, the second admonition, an heretic also includes the one who is liberal. Amen. You see that? Liberal. The one who say Christians are free to do anything. After the first admonition, I've explained to you. No. In Christ, you know, there are walls. Hallelujah. They are called walls of salvation. They are meant to guide you around things. Hallelujah. They're meant to put you through things. He gives us commandments. The 10 commandments have gone. What about the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is the 10 commandments. Hallelujah. Just written differently. You know? And those are your fruits. Amen? That means patience. Patience is a wall. Patience is a covering. Patience is a shield. Patience is a railing. Patience means I have to be patient. Patience means I have to wait. Even when I feel like I should take steps. Even when I feel like I should blow it up. self-control, long-suffering, kindness, joy, faith, love. You know, those are our liberty. Our liberty is in the confines of love. Our liberty is in the confines of His joy. Our liberty is in the confines of patience. Hallelujah. We are so at liberty that we are too patient. Amen. That is the liberty of the Christian. So again, someone who preaches that liberalism, after the first admonition, the second admonition, he says, go and face your own work. Like Paul would tell in church in Thessalonica, mind your business. It's in the Bible. Amen. Tells the entire church in Thessalonica, I wonder what that church must have been like. Mind your business. So as Christians too, learn to mind your business. Mind what's going on in your church. You are not the prefect of the body of Christ. You're not the one that is sanctioning every church, knowing everybody's doctrine. There is none that concerns you with what they are teaching there. You have not done your study group finish. You are looking at another church and their doctrine. If they ask you to explain that the prophet is not series 3, we'll be seeing something else. We'll be seeing that's Kula. Oh, team of spelling, that's Kalia. You are admonishing every other person in the body of Christ. Mind your business. Can you tell somebody, mind your business? Play for me as I close. So, again, false prophets is not a modern invention. It's not a postmodern happening. It's something that's been happening since the days of Jesus. He warned his disciples, he said, beware of the leavens of the Pharisees. Hallelujah. And he was talking about their doctrine. He warned them, beware of false prophets among you. They will come in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Hallelujah. Paul warns the church in Acts, in Ephesus, in Acts 20. You know, he said, there are some that will come among you. In Galatians 1, he warns them. In 2 Corinthians 11, he warns them. You know, so the warning is all over the scriptures. Paul tells Timothy, he says, see, there will come a time where people will draw away after themselves. False prophets. Having itchy ears. They want to hear something. There's just something the church wants to hear. They want to hear that, you know what, we'll blow up. You know, we'll be the youngest billionaire gathering. You know, that God never sent anybody to raise billionaires. I say it again, I don't stand to be corrected. There is nobody with the call of God that God specifically told you to raise billionaires in the body of Christ. That is not what he died for. He didn't shed his blood, give his life, rose on the third day so that he can make billionaires. No, it's so that he can bring more sons to glory. So that many more men can say the name of Jesus at liberty in every place in the world, in every tribe and tongue, regardless of their status. An educational background, they can say the name of Jesus is mine. That is why he died. Not so that you can have some box in your account. No. Jesus died for you and for me. Jesus died for the rich, for the poor. Jesus died for the learned, for the professor, and for the unlearned. Jesus died for men, and he died for women. Amen. He didn't die for the LGBTQ. He died for men and women. Amen. The LGBTQ will be born again. Amen. So that's how I was born. You'll be born again. Hallelujah. You know, you see, now, a false prophet, let me start. A false prophet will want to pander. I am not saying the gospel is not for those who are, I don't even know how to say it now, those who have identities, you know, postmodern appellations, of queer. Is that it? Is it queer? Bro, faith now. Is it queer? No, prophet is not queer. Queer, transgender. I'm not saying the gospel is not for them. Of course, it's for the world. Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, chapter 5, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. There is nobody who is worthy enough to receive his blood. We all, unworthy, receive it. Amen. Uh-huh. But I'm saying, if when you now get saved, there must be it must be taught that male and female created them. You cannot in the bid to be people centric and crowd, you know, there's something crowd sensationalism where you just want people to sit down and hear you and you sound different. You know, I like that pastor. He does not castigate. No, the Bible has judgment. We listen and we judge. Amen? In fact, sometimes we judge before we listen. Like now, I've not heard anything. I said, there's nothing like transgender in the Bible. I judge, then I want to now listen. Amen. There's nothing like in the Bible, we listen, we don't judge. I'm not saying, you know, now church, you go and judge people and all of that. I'm saying, God's word itself is a judgment. That means when I get saved into his own world. I get saved into his own activities. Things change. Identities change. Amen. Saul now becomes Paul. God doesn't say, oh, because you are Saul, I know that you just like killing people. Go ahead, kill. Go ahead, kill, as long as you're coming to church. Just ensure that you don't kill our own people. No. It is, no, you were killing. Now you will save. He calls us into his identity. He calls us by a new name. And he gives us a new address. Hallelujah. That is what the gospel is all about. Changing people from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. If we cannot do that in the name of gathering crowds, then we become wells without water. Hallelujah. Learn something? Show your neighbor in 3 minutes what you learn. 3 minutes. 2 minutes, actually. We pray for this one.